"Sarcodra is a lie of the first magnitude," I replied, notwithstanding the proud claim of the Tharks to absolute verity. Dejathoris laughed.
"I knew that even though you became a member of the community, you would not cease to be my friend. A warrior may change his metal, but not his heart, as the saying is upon Barsoom." "I think they have been trying to keep us apart," she continued, "for whenever you have been off duty, one of the older women of Tars Takis's retinue has always arranged to trump up some excuse to get Sola and me out of sight. They have had me down in the pits below the buildings, helping them mix their awful radium powder and make their terrible projectiles. You know that these have to be manufactured by artificial light, as exposure to sunlight always results in an explosion. You have noticed that their bullets explode when they strike an object? Well, the opaque outer coating is broken by the impact, exposing a glass cylinder, almost solid, in the forward end of which is a minute particle of radium powder. The moment the sunlight, even though diffused, strikes this powder, it explodes with a violence which nothing can withstand. If you ever witness a night battle, you will note the absence of these explosions, while the morning following the battle will be filled at sunrise with the sharp detonations of exploding missiles fired the preceding night. As a rule, however, non-exploding projectiles are used at night."
While I was much interested in Dejathoris's explanation of this wonderful adjunct to Martian warfare, I was more concerned by the immediate problem of their treatment of her. That they were keeping her away from me was not a matter for surprise, but that they should subject her to dangerous and arduous labor filled me with rage. "Have they ever subjected you to cruelty and ignominy, Dejathoris?" I asked, feeling the hot blood of my fighting ancestors leap in my veins as I awaited her reply.
"Only in little ways, John Carter," she answered. "Nothing that can harm me outside my pride. They know that I am the daughter of 10,000 Jeddaks, and that I trace my ancestry straight back without a break to the builder of the first great waterway, and they, who do not even know their own mothers, are jealous of me. At heart they hate their horrid fates, and so wreak their poor spite on me, who stand for everything they have not, and for all they most crave and never can attain. Let us pity them, my chieftain, for even though we die at their hands, we can afford them pity, since we are greater than they, and they know it."
Had I known the significance of those words, "my chieftain," as applied by a red Martian woman to a man, I should have had the surprise of my life. But I did not know at that time, nor for many months thereafter. Yes, I still had much to learn on Barsoom. "I presume it is the better part of wisdom that we bow to our fate with as good grace as possible, Dejathoris. But I hope, nevertheless, that I may be present the next time that any Martian, green, red, pink or violet, has the temerity to even so much as frown on you, my princess." Dejathoris caught her breath at my last words, and gazed upon me with dilated eyes and quickening breath. And then, with an odd little laugh, which brought roguish dimples to the corners of her mouth, she shook her head and cried,